The Five Secrets of a Phenomenal Business, Chapter 7.
Now, operations is everything you do to serve your clients. Phenomenal operations delivers a meaningful service experience that engages, educates, and entertains your clients, making them feel special. I call that the three E's of experience: engagement, education, entertainment. A phenomenal operations system is a group of working parts that duplicates results consistently without you having to be there. Michael E. Gerber, author of the E-Myth book series, says most business owners are not entrepreneurs, they're technicians. If you're like most small business owners, this may be the strongest area in your business, but you might be surprised to find out that being strong in this area is creating your biggest weakness. If you're not able to duplicate your technical skills, you won't have a system, which means you'll remain a slave to that business. Chances are you went into business doing what you do because you had a skill in that industry. Maybe you worked for someone else, or maybe you knew someone else who was successful in that business. The fatal assumption, as Michael Gerber calls it, is to assume that since you're the best pie baker, the best teacher, the best trainer, the best plumber, or whatever it is that you do, that you'll be successful in business. And nothing could be farther from the truth. But like the other four areas in business, this one is just as vital to the success of your company as the others are. The question is whether you'll be successful in turning your technical expertise into a system. That brings me to what I call the most phenomenal service experience ever. If you want to know what the most phenomenal service experience ever looks like, you don't have to look any farther than the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company and their legendary service. One of my best friends, Luis Hernandez, and I go to Puerto Rico together sometimes, and a few years ago, I took my mama with us since it was her 75th birthday. Yes, when you're from Alabama, it's mama, not mom or mother. I wanted to do something special, so we stayed at the Ritz-Carlton in San Juan. The staff there literally jumps to attention when a guest is present. They call you by name and make a big deal about you. My good friend Joseph Michelli wrote a book about it called The New Gold Standard, and in that book, he unpacks the philosophy and the strategies of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. They've been very successful in building a business by providing the most phenomenal service experience ever. If you ask for directions, they don't just point, they literally walk with you. Did you know that at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel that every single employee is empowered to spend up to $2,000 on a single guest to solve a problem? Wow, that's empowerment. When I wrote this book, I was on a remote island in the Great Barrier Reef off of Australia. As I was planning the trip, I researched my travel book and looked up the website of the resort online. The website was absolutely amazing. The island looked stunning. I booked the trip completely online, and all the correspondence I had was by email. The confirmation email is one of the best I've ever seen in my life. I took a helicopter from the mainland over the island so that I could see the Great Barrier Reef from the air. And of course, the view was amazing. And the little island among the dots of the Great Barrier Reef encased in the emerald waters was absolutely breathtaking. And the helicopter made its slow, rocking descent onto the helipad. And as it was doing so, I imagined that I was arriving on Fantasy Island. Remember that TV show? I mean, I expected a little guy in a white suit to come running out, "De plane, de plane." I mean, I expected that there would be people standing there with these big fruit drinks with the fruit and the little umbrella on top, and maybe they would have a white cloth with to wipe the sweat off your brow as you get off of this helicopter. And excitement swelled up in me as I walked up the little sand path to the reception area. But within 5 minutes, I knew the service experience wasn't going to match the incredible, phenomenal island. The front desk clerk seemed to be bothered. The more staff that I met, they all seemed to have a chip on their shoulders. This was a completely different experience from what I had experienced in the rest of Australia. Almost everywhere I'd gone, the people had been super nice. Even the flight attendants actually smiled and they would stop to chat a bit. But not at this resort. In fact, they didn't even make eye contact. They never called a guest by name. You were room 157. Now, if this was a Ritz-Carlton property, they would have greeted each guest politely, asked how you were doing. Because of the incredible beauty of the island and the unique location, they have an incredible opportunity to create the most service experience ever. Someone's asleep at the wheel. You see, there's a difference between providing a functional service and providing the most phenomenal service experience. As I shared earlier, before I started my first business, I was a waiter. And I worked in these really high-end restaurants where we performed tableside cooking. I wore a tuxedo to work, and every dish that was prepared at the table was flamed as the grand finale. And back in those days, you could smoke inside, and when someone pulled out a cigarette, a lighter was in front of them immediately. We waited just far enough away from the table to give them their personal space, but we were close enough to anticipate their needs before they occurred. Water or iced tea was topped off before they had to ask for it. We hovered without being a bother. It was the most phenomenal service experience ever. In this chapter, I want to unpack what this can look like in your business, regardless of what you do. If you're a doctor or a dentist, when your patient walks in, you want him or her to have the right experience. If you have a gym, what kind of experience do your members have when they come in? This goes for a retail store, a church, or any organization that wants to make a unique impression. If you're a service company like plumbing, office equipment repair, telephone systems installation, cable TV, or cleaning, or air conditioning, or something of that nature, what are the steps of providing the most phenomenal service experience ever? If you're an independent professional, such as an insurance agent, realtor, or sales professional, what are the things that you can do to make your clients feel special? We used to have a financial advisor who handled the 401k type of stuff for one of my companies. This guy would come in, sit down at the back of the meeting room, and read the paper. Didn't interact with anybody. And when it was time for him to get up and speak to our team, he puts a chart up on the wall and starts to speak with what might as well have been Greek to us because we didn't understand a word that he said. We didn't understand anything that the chart was about. Needless to say, he's no longer with us. The guy we have now goes out of his way to build relationships with each employee. Just before Thanksgiving, we received the biggest goodie basket I've ever seen in my life. It was huge. Of course, it had some Starbucks stuff in it for me, hint, hint. And it had something for every employee, Master Stroke. Have you ever heard of WIFM, W-I-I-F-M? You may not feel that you're up to providing that level of service experience. You might feel that it's beneath you. You might be thinking, how in the world could I get my staff to act that way? I'm here to tell you that not only can you change your culture, I want to offer you some benefits of creating a phenomenal service experience. Perhaps if we can tune in to your favorite radio station, WIIFM, which stands for What's in It for Me, you'll be more likely to put the work into making this happen. So here's what's in it for you. When you create and deliver a phenomenal service experience, your clients are going to be happier, which means you're going to have fewer headaches. Your staff will be happier, which means that they're going to stay longer and work harder. Your service experience is no longer going to require you to make every client happy, and you're going to make more money. You have to keep in mind the PLV, or potential lifetime value, of a client. What that means is that if they continue to do business with you and they continue to refer you, the lifetime value of that client is huge. And before even looking at the economic value of a client, let's talk about the fact that they deserve to be treated right. Customers deserve a positive, friendly experience at a minimum. Customers deserve to be valued for the simple fact that they're human beings who should be highly regarded. That's the minimum standard. They're God's phenomenal creation standing in front of you. John Maxwell says that when you don't value people, you devalue them. This is the core issue surrounding customer service. How we value people has a direct impact on how we treat them. You can say you value someone, but your actions show the true value. The only reason you need to value your customers is because they deserve it. They pay your bills for you. We should be grateful for our customers' support because without them, we have nothing. But here's what you need to understand to put all this together. To create and deliver the most phenomenal service experience ever, you'll need to first understand the emotional state of your niche prospect. When your clients buy your product or service, what's their emotional state? Excitement, fear, uncertainty, pride? For example, when I arrived on quote-unquote Fantasy Island, I was excited because visiting the Great Barrier Reef has been on my bucket list for a long time. I'd be relaxing, writing my book. It would be a special time for me. But because they never connected to that and never took the time to understand, I'll never go back to that particular resort. Imagine you're a wedding consultant. What's the emotion of that soon-to-be bride? Excitement, but at the same time, fear. Fear that someone or something could ruin the most important day of her life, as I mentioned earlier. If you don't connect with that and you focus just on the product, you're missing a humongous opportunity. In a service business where you're invited into the most private areas of someone's home or business, do you think that there's some fear and uncertainty in that customer's mind the first time they use your service? You bet there is. And you've got to connect with that. A good start to connecting with the emotional state is following step two in the sales presentation. Having a statement that you understand what they're feeling. Now, of course, if you've gone through the sales process already, you've built some rapport and trust. But if someone walks into your restaurant or retail store, you've got to engage them properly. Recently, I walked into a restaurant and I was in a hurry. After a few minutes of no one even showing up at the table, I knew that the rest of the experience would most likely be slow as well, so I got up and left. Keep in mind that this restaurant had been specifically recommended by the hotel. I went straight there without shopping around. Can you see how you can do a phenomenal job marketing and you can close the sale only to have everything fall apart at the service level? The resort in the Great Barrier Reef, great marketing, great sales, no customer service, no service experience. So engage your clients and make them feel like they're the most important person in the world right now. And they are, because your life goals are connected to this vehicle called your business. And if you don't have service, you have nothing. Speaking of engagement, another big customer service mistake I see on a regular basis is employees engaging with one another while ignoring the customer. Have you been to a grocery store and the cashier and the bag person are chatting it up and the only thing they say to you is, $5.95? Drives me nuts. I know they haven't been trained. So it makes me want to go and grab the manager. Of course, the manager hasn't been trained either. So now I want to talk to the owner. Well, it's corporately owned and you can't really talk to anybody. This is why small business owners can have more influence in the marketplace than any other man-made institution. We can make a difference in the lives of others. Have you ever been on a flight and the flight attendants are having a phenomenal time together, but when you ask for something, they scowl? Make sure that this doesn't happen with your business. Thoroughly train your staff on the mission. As we talked about earlier, the first vital component of a system is the mission. Your client has a problem and you have a solution. The solution is delivered by delivering and providing a unique service experience that they can't get anywhere else. Have your employees memorize that mission. Every conversation, every meeting, every coaching session is in the context of your mission. John Maxwell, number one leadership expert in the world, said that the most important thing in any company is its culture. You see, when we accomplish the mission or not, a culture is developed. A culture is the result of the values we live by and how we act. The culture is built through how we live out our values. You can change your culture by living out different values. Let me share with you five values that we use that create the most phenomenal service experience ever. Do you remember the five things I shared with you in the marketing message earlier? Reputation, experience, education, systems, and guarantee. What would happen if we thoroughly communicated and trained our staff on how to live out those values? What if we talked a lot about what affects our reputation positively or negatively? What if we helped our staff gain more experiences that they could pass on to the client and showed them how it helps us accomplish our mission? What if we immersed ourselves in education at every level and we passed that on to the client? What if we had a step-by-step system at every level of the company that was proven to result in the client feeling that they had the most phenomenal service experience ever? What if we actually did what we said we were going to do when it came to our guarantee? What a wonderful world it would be. Can you see how training your staff on the same 5 points you're offering to your clients results in exceeding client expectations? We can't say one thing and do another. Mary Kay Ash built an amazing company culture. She frequently said, "Imagine every human being that you meet has an invisible sign around their neck that says, 'Make me feel special.'" Zig Ziglar said, "You can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want." What do your clients want? They want to feel special. Start by using your client's name. Again, Dale Carnegie said, "The sweetest sounding music to a person's ear is their own name." By the way, this also benefits you outside of servicing your clients. When you begin to recognize others by name, they'll respond differently. I travel a great deal, and I make it a habit to call anyone who serves me by name. Whether it's a flight attendant, front desk clerk, wait staff, or bellhop, I ask them their name if they don't have a name tag. I prefer calling people by their last name if I'm serving them. But if you have a casual atmosphere like Southwest Airlines, you might call them by their first name. But I started calling people by their name so that I could just get better at remembering names. I soon realized that I got better service when I did that. Instead of having a flight attendant scowl, many times they check with me personally every time they pass by. One flight attendant moved me to first class after the airplane doors were already shut, which, by the way, is illegal in post-911. It's amazing to me that such a small thing makes a difference, but it does. Try it sometimes. It just goes to show you how much people are starving to be recognized. Your clients are no different. They crave attention. Give it to them, and you'll be the star. Recognize them by name. The next thing that you want to do is anticipate their needs. Remember the high-end waiter example? The water was filled before the customer asked for it. We knew someone would pull out a cigarette, so the lighter was ready. In the book, The Experience Economy, that I mentioned in Phenomenal Marketing Systems, has a subtitle that goes like this: "Work is theater and every business is a stage. A phenomenal operations system is a theater production designed to create the right experience consistently." Now, I can't tell you too much about theater firsthand because I'm not allowed to go to the show with my wife any longer. That ended about a decade ago because of one simple fact. As soon as the lights go out, so do I. I fall asleep. And yes, that could be a problem when a lot of money has been spent on tickets and I'm snoring or drooling on some lady's mink coat. I get up early to write, to think, and plan. I drink strong coffee in the morning, and I'm full throttle all day. As soon as I sit down in the evening, I'm out. gone. If we turn on the news or a great movie, it's rare that I'll make it through the whole thing. A few years ago, I was working on a joint venture project with a multi-billion-dollar company. We were meeting all the bigwigs in Las Vegas, and my contact called me and told me that they were taking us to a show. And I said, "Oh." And he goes, "How did you know we were going to see O?" Which is a show in Las Vegas, by the way. "Aren't you excited?" And I said, "Oh." I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be really bad. These high-level guys are taking us out for a big dinner and a show, and I'm going to fall asleep. Not good. I made sure that I had a pocket full of sunflower seeds. I use those to stay awake when I drive. I drank a venti Starbucks right before the show, but believe it or not, I could go to sleep right after drinking one of those things. So I told one of my friends that was on the team to make sure that I sat as far away from the head guys as possible, and then I told him, "Sit next to me, and you have my permission to do whatever you have to do to keep me awake. I don't care if you have to hit me or whatever you have to do." Fortunately, I found a new solution to my old problem. I clapped as hard as I could after every scene, so hard that my hands hurt after the show, but it kept me awake. And the best part was, because of the excessive clapping, they all thought that I loved the show. Of course, that could become a problem if we ever go to Las Vegas together again. But the point is this: when you think of theater, what is it? It's entertainment. What does entertainment do? It takes you on an emotional journey. My wife loves The Sound of Music, partly because it was the first movie that she ever saw at a theater. What emotion do you want your experience to invoke? Excitement? Concern? Passion? Remember that customers always buy on emotion, always. And when you create a phenomenal service experience, you've built in the emotion that you want to help your client feel. Let me pause to remind you that this is not to manipulate. You have a responsibility not to cross that line. Using undue pressure or fear is out of line. Make sure that what you're offering and how you present it and how you serve is with the utmost of integrity, and make sure it's a win for everybody involved. But now think about this. The quote-unquote show, the theater, is repeated night after night, invoking the same emotion at the same point in the production each and every time. That's what needs to happen in your business. What does the set look like? This is your store, your vehicle, your materials. Who are the characters? What do they look like? How do they act? What do they wear? That's the costume. What is the script? Can you see how creating a system of production is much like a theater production? It's a show. It's a system. Treat it that way. Here's a striking statement from that book, The Experience Economy. Too many workers behave no differently on stage than they do in their private lives. One of my best friends, Jim Bardwell, who worked with me as I grew my first company, understands creating the experience like few people I've ever seen. In my early seminars, Jim often did presentations for me, sometimes in costume. He used to teach, in the service business, you've got to have universal appeal. In other words, whoever your audience is, your character must appeal to them. If your clients are conservative, you probably don't want to look like a biker. On the other hand, if you work at Harley-Davidson, that would be an advantage. We live in such a me world today that we really don't think about customer service. And if you think about it, our children really haven't learned how to serve. In a world of instant gratification, where we tap our foot in front of the microwave, they don't really know what service is. Most likely, they've never had to serve unless they had smart parents that intentionally had them do so, for which you have my deepest respect. Modern conveniences have eliminated the need for each other in many cases. Many people can't help their neighbor with finances because they're just as broke and in debt. If the parent does go to the neighbor's house to help fix a car, cut up a fallen tree, where are the children? Usually playing a video game, talking on their cell phone, watching YouTube videos. We're creating a generation that doesn't know what service is, so we must be very intentional about teaching it to them. Make sure that your image, your scripts, your procedures resonate with your niche target market. Think of Ritz-Carlton again. Their guests are high-profile, wealthy individuals. Can you afford body piercings, sloppy clothing, or speech? No. The experience must be created to engage and entertain your target market. If you have a business where it's all about speed and efficiency, focus on that. Do everything you can to make the entire experience about speed and efficiency. The point is that you must create the experience that will give your perfect niche market what they want and more. My good friend Jeffrey Gittimer wrote one of the best customer service books ever. It's called Customer Satisfaction is Worthless. Customer Loyalty is Priceless. The goal is to create loyalty. In his book, Raving Fans, legendary leadership expert Ken Blanchard and co-author Sheldon Bowles featured a loyalty ladder that goes like this. Suspects, prospects, shoppers, clients, members, advocates, raving fans. The first is suspects. These are people who fit your defined target market, information that you should know as you create your customer service vision. They may or may not become customers, and that really depends on your marketing system. Then they become a prospect. These are people who take some form of action. They visit your website or come into your store. They may or may not become customers. That depends on your sales system. Shopper or customer, these are people who buy something. They may or may not return, which means that they may or may not move up on the ladder, and that depends on your operation systems. Then if they do return, they become a client. Then moving up the ladder from there is member. Clients graduate to members once they feel they're respected for their business and they receive extra care and attention. The next level on the ladder, the next rung, is an advocate. People become advocates when they're very satisfied with your products and services and they tell other people about your business. And then the top of the rung and the whole focus of the entire book, Raving Fans, is a raving fan. Someone's a raving fan of your business when they do the quote-unquote selling for you. The products and services exceed their expectations, and they encourage others to buy. That is your goal, is to create raving fans. Your phenomenal operation systems, along with your client-based marketing systems, are the key to bringing them back, to moving them up that loyalty ladder. In order to create the experience and the system, you need to think about the steps that each customer goes through. Jan Carlson described how he turned around struggling SAS Airlines many years ago by creating what he called moments of truth. Every customer interaction is a moment of truth. The Experience Economy book says that every time the customer sees an employee, that's a theater moment. We have to break down the steps of customer interaction and make sure that we're creating the most phenomenal service experience ever, step by step. My good friend and colleague, Ellen Rohr, has a great way to think about this. Instead of trying to think about each positive step you want to create from your perspective, think about what could go wrong from the customer's perspective. She used a restaurant as an example. So here's what you do. You get in your car and you drive down the road. Now you turn around and drive back to the restaurant, acting like you're a customer. What could go wrong as you approach the restaurant? Well, the sign's hard to see. It's not lit up. Now you approach the door. It's not clean. The parking lot is not clean. It's cluttered. It's hard to park. You step inside the door. Maybe the hostess isn't there. So can you see how imagining what could go wrong with each step creates the steps that you can take? How brilliant is that? I recently promoted one of my team members to operations manager of my service company, and the main point that I shared with him was prevention. Imagine what can go wrong and be proactive to prevent any level of service issue to happen before it happens. If it's foggy out there, that's the trigger to remind the guys to be careful driving. Be diligent in training and make sure that inventory systems are being followed so that we aren't caught on a job site without what we need. Back to Ellen's restaurant example. Whose job is it to clean up the parking lot? Is that task in the daily procedures? Walking up to the building, the front door is smudged. The hostess isn't at her station. How's the decor? How's the dress code? How the script sound? Is the kitchen ready? You have to have procedures for all of that. It reminds me of Kitchen Nightmares. What a phenomenal show for business owners to watch. Might not be bad for a staff meeting either. Maybe the first impression for your business is your website or brochure. Maybe they call you on the phone. Do you have a procedure to make sure that the phone is answered properly? Do you have a script and a system where that person has been empowered to deliver the most outstanding service experience ever? I mentioned earlier that people make 11 important assumptions about you when they first meet you. And by the way, that happens in the first 30 seconds before you even open your mouth. The 11 assumptions are, number one, trustworthiness, economic level, educational level, social position, level of sophistication, economic heritage, social heritage, educational heritage, success, moral character, and future potential. This all happens within 30 seconds that all these things are just happening in your mind and in your customer's mind when they meet you for the first time. So can you see how important it is to dress for success and to carry yourself properly? Your phenomenal service experience is going to be carried out by frontline team members who will either score high or low on these 11 points. So make sure that you and your team are dressed and groomed well and that you have step-by-step service systems in place so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel every day.